thank you, Mona, for that wonderful prelude. If you were here last Sunday, you might have recognized that part of the prelude was a song we sang last week. And the reason we repeated it is we have a special request from one of our members who is actually celebrating her birthday today. So, Agnes, that was for you. And I would like to ask the congregation if we could join in singing Happy Birthday to Agnes. Next week, we are going to be helping our host church in doing some cleanup, some beautification. So feel free, if you want to, wear clothes that are appropriate for working. If you not, that's fine. But you know, we could stay later and then do some work and help out with that. The Holy Week, the week leading up to Easter, we're having services every day, and hopefully people can make those. Those are going to be great times of enrichment. We are having a Friday evening tenebrae service, and we still need readers. I think we need 6 or 7 readers for that service. If you're interested in reading, please let Jen know so she can get you on the list, and that would be great. Men's group and women's group will return back to Carolyn's house this Wednesday, and I think we're going to have the men in the downstairs, and the women are going to be upstairs. Is that correct? Okay, that's correct. So wonderful. So I make sure I got that that together. And if you were able to stand today for the gospel reading, that's fine. But if that is something that you're not able to do, please feel free to do as God has called you to do. Any other announcements? Yeah, please, David.
I'm responsible, which is a scary thought, for the directory at church. And it has come to my attention that, one, I'm behind in making updates. But two, more importantly, some of you have changed your phone numbers and dropped your home phones. And maybe somebody has moved. And everybody in your family may know, but if I don't know, you still have the wrong phone number and are located at the wrong place. So in the last 12 months, have you updated your cell phone or your home phone or where you live? You need to text me and give me some information. So when I'm able, I will be able to update the CTRN. And if you don't know what that is or how to use it, see me and I will help you understand. It's a very useful tool for contacting members within the church. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. And just to repeat that, in case you didn't hear, if you have changed your number, your email, your address, if you move, please let Dave Gardner know so we can update them in our online directory, CTRN. If you don't know about CTRN, it is a great way to get birthdays, phone numbers, addresses for people. Please let Dave Gardner know so we can update that. I appreciate you doing that for us, Dave. I've used it many times, and it's quite helpful. Yes, Werner.
Yeah, we have our grandson here for the first time. His name is Hill, and we hope that in the future he might come also.
Well, welcome very much to the church, Hill. We're glad to have you here, and we enjoy your grandmother and grandfather, so hopefully you'll feel welcome here, and you're welcome anytime to come. Any other announcements? Okay, hearing none, let's go to church prayers. I do want to start with a few prayers. First of all, I think we should lift up Tom, our pastor, and Sherry Bryant. They are traveling and have arrived in Florida for a pastor's conference, and this is a great time for them to rest and to relax. Tom, as you know, hardly gets away at all, and this is a church conference that he's been going to for many years, and other people have gone to this too with Ligonier Ministry. So we want to pray that he would have time for refreshment and regeneration, and that everything would go well for him. We also want to pray for Bea Gardner. She continues to progress, and she's going to not be here today, but I'm sure she'll listen in, that things would go well and that the therapy would continue, and that Dave and Bea might be able to continue their time here, but also get up in Wisconsin when the temperature soars into the 90s here. So we'd be praying for Bea. We need to also continue to pray for the friend, family of the Griffins, a young gentleman who was playing baseball and was hit in the head with a ball. Last I knew, he was still in the hospital, so hopefully continue to pray for him that he might be recovered from this injury. I wear this pin in honor of the people in Moldova, so continue to pray for those in Moldova and Ukraine. We want to continue to thank God for Jennifer, that she has done better and is continuing to do well, right? Oh, praise God that Jennifer Mahanes is now home from the hospital. And we praise God for the healing in her life. Thank you so much for that update. We do want to pray for the family of Rich Moore. You know, Gail has gone there to participate in the services for that, and we're glad to see her back. And we'll be praying for that family and for you, Gail and Barry. Pray for David Baker, Judy's cousin. Is he still doing okay? So
has to have dialysis 3 times a week, 5 hours at a time. He is able to work from home.
Okay.
He's in banking. He desperately needs a kidney.
We're praying for him that that would be something that God would bless him with, and he'd continue to trust God each day for the healing. And finally, we want to pray for the Larry Gilly, the family of Larry Gilly, afraid of Dave and Yvette's, who was devastated by a loss, a fire loss that basically took everything. We were able as a church to help him out a little bit. I just pray that he continue to recover and take it day by day with hope. Any other prayer requests from the congregation? Yes, David.
I'd like to continue to pray for the folks that live in East Palestine in Ohio.
So David would like to lift prayers, as we all would, for the folks that are suffering in East Palestine, Ohio, still having a lot of cleanup and a lot of aftermath of that tragedy. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, please.
Yes, I would like to kind of add to Larry Gilly's story. He was a customer of mine at my former employer years ago that I somewhat knew that he lived in this area that the spire was, but I hadn't seen him in years and years. And when I reached out to Pastor Tom and talked to him about what happened, he actually refused help from the Red Cross because he was so embarrassed about what happened to his house. The wood stove, he had put a bunch of wood in it and stepped outside. And he turned around and looked after being outside for just a little bit to get a breath of fresh air. The stovepipe had caught the wall on fire from the inside, and he couldn't get back inside to get his phone, his wallet, or any of his belongings. So on behalf of me and Yvette, we want to thank this church for the gift that they have given him. And as of right at this moment, he has no idea this gift is coming to him. It is going to be a complete surprise. And we just thank this church so much for what they give him.
Well, thank you for giving those details of the story. I appreciate that. What a beautiful thing to have a community of believers that help each other. I know my wife and I have seen that in gifts for our neighbors who had troubles, and to have the ability to step out and reach out and bless this person in their trial. Thank you so much. Hopefully you'll give us a follow-up on how that went. I'm sure there'll be
absolutely
great praise from God for that.
Praise God.
Thanks for the follow-up. Any other prayer requests? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of coming together at your throne, knowing that you love us. And you see us, and you see our needs, and you are able to give us peace and hope in these times. Pray for our pastor, Tom, as he travels to Florida, that him and Sherry would be refreshed and encouraged by this time away, that he would come back with increased energy, if possible, to continue to lead us as he does, a humble servant of you. And pray for the young man who was struck in the head with a baseball, that he might be healed by your holy power, that he might restore to his family. We pray for all those who suffer worldwide, especially those in the Ukraine, Moldova, Russia, Turkey, Syria, and even at home, East Palestine, Ohio. Those who have suffered tragedies, may you give them peace, hope, and encouragement that you see them, and you care about them, and you love them. We pray for Larry, that you might give him peace and hope, and that this gift might be a fragrance of your love for them. I thank you for Dave and Yvette and their care for him. Great manifestation of your love. We pray for David, that he might continue to be encouraged and that you would provide the kidney that he needs to go on. We pray for Jennifer and thank you for her healing. We pray that Martha and the whole family might be able to encourage and see the wonderful works of God in her life. We pray for Rich Monroe and family. He has passed now to a different realm. We thank you for the family, for Yale was able to go out there. We thank you for all these wonderful things you've given us. Let us give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Let us enter into worship. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
Let us call each other to worship by doing Psalms 142 responsibly. I cry to the Lord with my voice, to the Lord make loud supplication.
I pour out my complaint before him, and tell him all my trouble.
When my spirit languishes within me, you know my path. In the way wherein I walk, they have hidden a trap for me.
I look to my right hand and find no one who knows me. I have no place to flee to, and no one cares for me.
I cry out to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living.
Listen to my cry for help, for I have been brought very low. Save me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me.
Bring me out of the prison that I may give thanks to your name. When you have dealt bountifully with me, the righteous will gather around me.
Let us stand and sing our opening hymn, number 364, Send the Light.
Oh, Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 14 to 21. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. Here ends the reading.
Thank you.
who for our evil deeds worthily deserve to be punished, by the comfort of your grace, may mercifully be relieved. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And with this confidence, we boldly approach your throne and pray the words that we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, It is he. Others said, No, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, Then how were your eyes opened? He answered, The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, We see, your guilt remains. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Please be seated. heart and the meditation of my soul be acceptable unto you, my strength and my redeemer. So, it's great to be here to share a few thoughts about this message. Said before, Pastor Tom is at a conference, so he's asked me to share a little bit about the message. As many of you know, I just returned from a month-long trip to Moldova, and if you don't know where Moldova is, it's a very small country about the size of Delaware, about 2.5 million inhabitants, that's situated right between Ukraine, which is under Soviet aggression, and Romania, which is part of the European Union. So this little poor, vulnerable country is recognized as one of the most poorest countries in Europe. It's not aligned with Russia, and it's not aligned with NATO, so they really have no defense when the Russian missiles go over their airspace. Despite that, it's full of some of the kindest, wonderfully warm people that I have known. Country has been a great refuge for refugees, not only from Ukraine, but also from Russia. Many Russian people fled Russia in order to be conscripted to the military. And one of the Sundays they had the pleasure of worshiping with Russian refugee Christians. And it was so cool because I grew up in the Cold War and the Russians were our enemies. And to worship with Russian believers was a wonderful thing. There's a great hunger for the gospel in the country. A friend of mine who's a missionary there was able to build 20 churches in 2020. And brand new churches cost about $50,000. So with our building fund, we could build 3 brand new churches in Moldova. So the people want to hear the word of God. They want to experience the love of God. And one of the places that I spent considerable time was the Emmanuel Clinic. And the Emmanuel Clinic is a Christian healthcare clinic that provides healthcare for people that are in the country, variety of healthcare needs, medical, dental, pharmacy. They also have an outreach to home health. The government is not able to provide home health to sick and elderly people, so the clinic does it for them. And they also go out on the weekends to the refugee camps and help those who are suffering. They are very, very grateful that the Well Church mission budget gave a considerable, generous offering to them to help. So you are providing help to people of the world. There's an old song, a Christian song, people all over the world need to know about Jesus because people all over the world are crying out to be loved. So thank you. And the last day I was there, they asked that I would do a devotion for the people there, and I was honored to do it. And the words that came to my mind were John chapter 9. So just incidentally, or by the Holy Spirit, that's the message we're going to talk about today. And it's a great message for me to preach because it's about healing. And as a physician, I deal with healing every day. And just to outline what we're going to talk about today, Tom likes the 3 parts, so I got a 3-part message for you, Tom. We're going to talk about the meaning of healing. What does it mean to be healed? And then we're going to talk about the method of the healing. Why does Jesus use a certain method? And finally, we're going to talk about the miracle of healing. So all ends. It starts, we see, Jesus sees this man born blind. And he's just proclaimed that he is the I Am at the temple. And the religious leaders hate this. They try to destroy him, but he sneaks away. And he sees this man who was born blind. And the disciples, smart guys that they are, say, you know, let's ask a very deep religious question about this poor, suffering man who was born blind. Let's ask, who sinned? Was it the man or his parents? But before we go on, don't you hate know-it-alls? I'm not talking about the know-it-alls that win the trivia contest or the people that go on Jeopardy and Champions Week and know everything. I'm talking about the people that think they know it all. You know the people. They know everything about them, about you, about how to run the country, about how to run your household. But I think the worst know-it-alls are the religious know-it-alls. They know the Bible back and forth, and they know exactly chapter and verse and how it is supposed to be interpreted from them. They know what God's will is in your life, in their life, and everyone's life. Ah, they're so annoying, aren't they? But you know, actually, the disciples are kind of trying to do that. They're trying to make a very religious question about who sinned. Because they knew that sin was a consequence of, or disease was a consequence of sin. So obviously this person was blind from birth. He had to have sin in his life. The Pharisees knew that too. You were born in sin. How can you teach us? And before we start really getting negative on them, you know, there's some value in that in medicine. I know if you smoke cigarettes, you get lung disease, right? If you eat too much, you get diabetes and health concern, right? If you drink too much liquor, you get cirrhosis. So there is some of this support for a cause and effect. Spiritually, this concept has been around from the earliest time. Probably the first book that was ever written in the Bible was the book of Job. It's probably the ancient, before Abraham. And Job, of course, is suffering, and his friends come up to him, and they put the blame squarely on Job himself. Eliphaz says, think now, when has the innocent ever perished? Or when were the upright cut off? As I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Bildad says the same thing. See, God will not reject a blameless person, nor take the hand of evildoers. And Zophar repeats this. If iniquity is in your hand, put it far away, and do not let wickedness reside in your tent. Surely then you will lift up your face without blemish, and you will be secure, and you will not fear. Your life will be like the bright noonday sun. But before we go and get too critical on the disciples or Job's friends, think about it. Don't we kind of all act like this sometimes? Anyone who has spent time with a suffering friend knows how hard it is to remain present without trying to give some kind of an answer. It's excruciating to suffer silently with someone who must build their life piece by piece without any certainty about the outcome. So our instinct is to investigate what went wrong, identify a solution, and then we can help our friend eliminate the cause and get back to normal as soon as possible. Knowing the cause will at least know how to avoid the same fate ourselves. We would rather give a reason for the suffering, be it right or wrong, than to accept the mystery that is at the heart of suffering. But what about a child that is born with a bad heart? Who sinned? What about a toddler who dies suddenly? Who sinned? What about a person that lives in a war-torn country with not anything to eat? Who sinned? What about a man who was born blind? Who sinned? There's no easy answer here. And even to suggest an answer is at best foolish and at worst hurtful. We've all heard these well-intentioned Christians who give pious answers to suffering. It's all part of God's plan. God never sends people more adversity than they can handle. Or the worst one, you just don't have enough faith. It's arrogant for us to imagine that we know God's plan. How foolish it is to think that we know the reason for anyone else's suffering. We don't even know the reason for our own suffering. Probably easier and truthful and more helpful to say, I don't know why this is happening to you. No one should have to go through this. And then remain there and be present. Well, fortunately, Jesus cuts off this conversation right away. Peterson's translation says it this way. You're asking the wrong question, so stop it right now. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no blame here. Look instead for what God can do. Now, Jesus is not saying that no one sinned. Of course, we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. But what he's trying to do is get people to see past the disease to the meaning of the disease. great 19th century Swiss physician Paul Tournier talked about disease having a meaning. Every disease, he would say, has a physical meaning and a spiritual meaning. And once you find the spiritual meaning of the disease, that's when you get pure healing. And Jesus was not the first person who healed disease, but he definitely brought significant meaning to him. In this case, it was to show God's glory. And this would bring a knowledge of God to all the people. Now you might think, well, but is that fair? Is it fair for God to allow you? I don't know. I don't know if life's fair. Probably not. It's not fair to me. Probably not fair to you, right? But Augustine leaves us a few words. That God is so good that he would never permit any evil to occur unless it was so powerful as to draw some good for the evil. So Jesus sees the man, and he doesn't blame him. He doesn't condemn him. He provides meaning and healing. In John chapter 4, he opened the book of Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." And so he healed them. Now, let's talk about the method of healing, because this is kind of, you must admit, gross, right? What does he do? He uses his saliva, and he makes a little paste with mud, and he puts it on the guy's eyes. Now, let me say that. That's, oh, come on, Jesus, you know, that's kind of, we don't do that. But actually, this is the third time he's used saliva. He uses saliva two other times in the Gospel of Mark, one to touch someone's ears, and one to touch someone's tongue. You have to realize that medicine in the first century is a lot different than medicine in the 21st century. We didn't have urgent care, we didn't have robot surgery, you know, we didn't have antibiotics, we didn't have insulin. It basically had just plants, roots, and natural things. And actually, saliva was a common treatment used by doctors. Pliny the Elder, who wrote in the first century as a naturalist, talks about the healing power of saliva. And before you really get too grossed out about it, saliva has a lot of antibacterial and antiviral treatments. I'm a diabetes doctor, and there's a drug that is used for diabetes, and it's a great drug. Helps people lose weight and get better glucose control. It's an injection you give once a week. Everybody wants it. But actually, the foundation for this, the original medicine, was from saliva from a Gila monster. So I think if you came to me and I got my little Gila monster and I got some spit out of his mouth and put it in a syringe and said, "Inject this once a week," you'd call me crazy. But that's exactly what's happening. So these things that God has given us, these natural healings, are common. And God uses that. He uses the common everyday things to do his glory. For those of you who are involved in medicine, in ophthalmology, in audiology, in nursing, in nutrition, you're using common everyday things, pills, injections, surgeries, hands, knives, to do his will. And in that, we are participating in the work of God. So you're doing the very work of God, using the thing, even common everyday things. And the other thing I want to talk about, a little bit of saliva, is back in the ancient days, saliva was associated with other body fluids, and the one that it was most associated was blood. So just as Jesus gives his saliva, he gives his blood. And the protein that's in saliva that causes the healing power is called laminin. And if you look at the molecular structure of laminin, it's in the perfect shape of a cross. Jesus gives his saliva, and the man is healed. Jesus gives his body and blood, and we are healed. But he's not healed right away. What does he have to do? He has to go to that pool over there, and he's got to wash. Now, he's at the temple, and the pool is kind of across the city. And that's kind of a pain, you know? And just wash? He's probably had that done a couple times already. Probably other people have used their saliva to help him, and it hasn't worked. So he has to incorporate the healing with faith. Just like in 2 Kings, when Naaman is told to dip in the waters of the Jordan, and says, oh, it's such a simple thing, do I really got to do it? He does, and he's healed. And just getting back to the physical analogy, sometimes the things you need to do to get health are simple. Stop smoking. Exercise 30 minutes a day. Don't eat so much. Don't drink so much. Simple things. Oh, we don't want to do it. We want a magic pill. We want someone to do a surgery and make us better. Sometimes it's the simple things. There was a friend of mine. Her name is Nicole Johnson, and she was an 18-year-old girl, beautiful woman, was the Miss Florida contest. And before she entered the last contest, she dropped over and passed out. She had diabetes. Type 1 diabetes, and she says, I have diabetes, my life is over. I'm never going to get married, I'm never going to become a beauty star, I'm never going to go to college. Until she decided, hey, I just need to do what I need to do. So she started giving herself insulin and checking her blood sugars, and she actually won Miss Virginia, won Miss America, so she won Miss America in 1999, got married, got pregnant, became a PhD, and I was the vice president of the American Diabetes Association. You got to walk through faith. And God calls us to walk through faith, through simple things, to coming to water for baptism, to coming to the Eucharist to receive him. And he goes, and he's washed, and he's healed, and the world rejoices. And everybody thinks this is great, that he is blessed beyond measure, and Jesus' authority as the Son of God is confirmed, and the world worships him. Or not. Just because we see a miracle in our lives, and we've seen them. I'm looking at them right now. Healing miracles in our church. And we rejoice in them. But don't expect everybody else to rejoice. What do the Pharisees do? Oh, it's not him. Just looks like him. Ah, you were never born blind. I'm not going to believe the miracles of God, even if it's right in front of me. People will do that. They'll try to rob your joy. Go to your doctor, and you say, oh, Jesus healed me. Uh-huh, sure, something like that. He probably didn't have a tumor to begin with. But he believed. We talked about who sinned. We all sin. Fortunately, there's healing for that. Unless you don't want it. And even as Lisa read in Isaiah, those who think they can see are blind. Those who don't have anything to do with God, they want to do it all their own way, they're the ones that suffer the most. But the man does find Jesus and worship him. Let us rejoice in the miracles of life that are present in all our lives, in the healing we see. And sometimes it's just a little thing, like getting over a cold and not having to go to the hospital for COVID. It's a miracle of life. For getting up this morning and breathing that oxygen in our fresh air, cold as it is. For having the blood circulate into our hearts. For having all the metabolic change that happened to happen in our body. Let us rejoice with God. And let us come to him. Jesus said, I have come into the world to make everything the clear light of day without distinctions. So, if you're suffering, if you're hurt, if you're tired, if you're struggling, Jesus has something for you. Not just temporary, but eternal. Jesus not only offers his saliva, but he offers his precious body and blood, given for you, so you might receive the true healing for your wounds. Let us remember this as we transition to celebrate Christ, the very body and blood, is the healing balm for our soul. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
You may be seated. You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Praise upon praise belongs to you, God of David. For through the length of days your goodness faileth never. You created a world of verdant pastures and streams of living water where we should nothing lack. Out of the house of Jesse, you named a shepherd, son to be your people's king. With rod and staff, you walked with your children through the shadow of slavery and the valley of exile and every kind of evil. When your sheep strayed in sin, you sent your own son to be our shepherd king and to restore our souls. He came to lay each one of us across his shoulders and bring us home to you. He set a table in the face of his enemies and laid down his life that you might take it up again in glory. And because you promised goodness and mercy to follow us all our days, we give our thanks with all who dwell in your house forever, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as we join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Anointing God, Samuel poured on oil on the head of David, and your spirit came mightily upon him. Send your Holy Spirit upon your church to make us faithful disciples. And with your same spirit, anoint these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread and gave you thanks. Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Searching God, you alone give your followers eyes of faith. Teach your church to see as you see, and set its sights on your kingdom. In the face of evil, lift the burden of fear. In the shadow of death, give comfort. In the company of enemies, spread your welcome table, until that day when every cup runneth over, and your children look upon one everlasting banquet, and all are made one around your heavenly feast, as faith shall at last be made sight. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, with all honor and glory, one God, now and forever. Amen.
the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And for all those that love our Lord in truth and sincerity, let us come to the feast.
Thank you.
received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go forth in faith, knowing that God sees us and God loves us. And let us join our voices with the hymn, "The Light of the World is Jesus." I want to remind you that the insert is in your bulletin. So let us stand and sing the closing hymn, "The Light of the World." Service over.
I didn't know.